Well, an hour ago, we talked LSU and Texas from the LSU side of things with Billy Embody of Go 24/7. Now it's time to take a look at what the home team is thinking and looking at heading into Saturday, as that game will be in Austin. And Jeff Howhorns 24/7 now joins us on the phone lines here on ESPN Central Texas. And Jeff, thanks so much, man, for your time, as always. With this game being in Austin, I know that, you know, USC's been there recently, and there's a bunch of big matchups scheduled for the future. There's been a lot of big games at DKR, but where would you kind of rank the buzz in the ATX this week, and now especially here later on in the week heading towards Saturday, in comparison to some of the other mega matchups that have been there in the last several years?
It's different, Craig, for a few reasons. One, I think the fact that Texas has one of these home games where they're ranked high, and I think the fan base believes that this team now is good enough to beat, you know, the number six team in the country. You know, that Notre Dame game back in 2016, you know, the Joe Tessitore infamous line now when Texas won that game. Nobody expected that. And, you know, I think everybody kind of assumed and had a hunch of what USC was going into that game last year. So, like you said, there have been some big games, but I think the fact that these are two teams that you look at them legitimately on paper is two of the more talented rosters in the country. You know, Texas obviously is expected to get back to the Big 12 championship game, which should put you, you know, in at least the discussion of being the playoffs. So I think the Texas fan base kind of understands, okay, this is a game where Texas is ranked highly. You feel like Texas belongs, and considering the big games they've won under Tom Herman and how they've competed in big games, they feel like, you know, the fans feel like Texas has a chance to go away. You combine that, Craig, with the fact that these two programs, they've only played each other twice in the last 65 years, which, considering how close they are in proximity, the fact that they recruit a lot of the same kids, it's generated a lot of buzz. There's going to be, you know, we've heard somewhere probably around, you know, 10,000 or so LSU fans in the stadium. We've heard there could be upwards around the stadium in Austin that day, something like 50,000 LSU fans just coming into town for the game, knowing they don't have a ticket to get in. So just in terms of the buzz around the stadium, I can't even compare it to anything I've experienced. And I've been going to Texas games since, you know, as in the third grade. This is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Are you buying the hype around the LSU offense, this high-octane offense? Are you believing that this is something that they could do consistently, or something that they did last week based off of who they were playing?
You know what's funny about that, Q, is we were talking about that on our podcast this week, and I was talking about it on the site and talking about all these different concepts LSU's running, and then I kind of stopped myself and said, wait a minute, it's not like they reinvented the wheel. It's just really weird to see an LSU offense that looks like it belongs in college football in 2019. It's not stuck in the Stone Age, and they're making use of their athletes, and they finally got a quarterback. You know, these are two programs that, considering their prestige, their talent pool they recruit from, you know, both of them have gone a decade plus without, you know, needing to find a quarterback, and Texas found theirs in Sam Ellinger. LSU has theirs in Joe Burrow. I think it all goes back to Ed Orgeron having trust in Joe Brady, and Joe Brady having the background he's got. He was an analyst for Sean Payton with the New Orleans Saints the last 2 years. Before that, he was with Joe Moorhead at Penn State. He's now the head coach at Mississippi State. And, you know, watching them against Georgia Southern, there was a heavy Joe Moorhead influence on that game plan. You know, a lot of 11 personnel, but using that one personnel group and the mixture formations up, a lot of tempo, heavy RPOs. I just think it's here to stay. I do buy the hype that it will be different. My question with that LSU offense is, how different does it look against Texas, and do you feel comfortable enough, if you're LSU, with your personnel to, in a game like this, try stuff that you didn't necessarily put on film in the first game and try it on this stage? I don't know if we're going to see that, but, yeah, I'm definitely buying the hype that LSU is different on offense and they can make use of their skill talent finally.
Jeff, how is Texas going to navigate that lack of depth at the running back position over the next few weeks?
Jeff's going to get about 10 carries on Saturday. That's how.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, Craig or Q, if you guys have any eligibility left, if y'all want to go maybe get a carry or two and some spot duty. You know, the short answer, Steven, they don't. They just don't have any bodies. I think they're going to have to supplement that. And we saw some of this in the Louisiana Tech game. And go back to the Texas game plan against Georgia. It's not really throwing to set up the run. I think that's kind of a misconception. They really look at their perimeter screen game, not just the the swing passes and the screens to the running backs. But, you know, the bubbles to Devin Duvernay, the outside stuff where maybe you can get a numbers advantage out there, they look at that as an extension of the run game. You know, if you look at Sam Ellinger's numbers from that Louisiana Tech game and say, wow, he threw the ball 38 times, that's a lot. You know, I went through and charted it, guys. More than half of those passes, and I'd say probably two-thirds of them, were within 5 yards or less of the line of scrimmage. So it was heavy on the screen game. That's really how they're going to have to supplement it, is with the talent and depth they have at wide receiver. It's one of those situations, guys, where, you know, they would love to be able to take the load off of Sam Ellinger and even take some off of Keontae Ingram's plate, but you just can't do that. And this is a game where you're going to need Keontae Ingram to touch it, you know, between carries and receptions 20 to 25 times to win. This is a game where maybe if you thought in the summer you would need Sam Ellinger to carry it 13 to 15 times, you're probably going to need Sam Ellinger to carry the football 20 to 25 times in this game if you're Texas to go and win it. And I know that sounds like a high number, but their win over Oklahoma last year, he had 19. He had 21 in the Sugar Bowl. So I would expect Sam Ellinger to run it a lot. Yeah, he went back and corrected himself. He said after the game they didn't have any called run. He did say yesterday they had one called run. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot more than one called quarterback run in that game on Saturday.
Jeff Howhorns, 24/7 here with us on ESPN Central Texas, talking Texas LSU. With that Jordan Whittington injury, I saw some people putting out video of where they think it might have occurred and all that. And I guess, Jeff, apparently it's something he's kind of dealt with at times. But just how much of a setback is that from the standpoint of reconfiguring the way his freshman year is going to go and how they thought it was going to go? And also just because of how much were they relying on him, how much of an absence does this now become as well compared to what they thought they were going to be able to do this season?
Yeah, we'll take the second part first, Craig. They can't replicate what he brought to the table just as an all-purpose type guy. They don't have anybody else like that. Now, I'll say this. Roshan Johnson looked pretty dang natural at running back, and like I've said, you know, you can have worse options than moving a guy to tailback who in high school ran for almost 5,000 yards and over 80 touchdowns. Granted, he did it from the quarterback position, but he looked like he belonged in that running back room times he touched the ball on Saturday. But Roshan Johnson, as good of an athlete as he is, he's not the dynamic guy Whittington is, and he doesn't have the depth, kind of the scope at that position right now to do the same things Whittington could do, even if he did. I think in terms of what it does for Jordan Whittington, in terms of how you set up the rest of his freshman year, I think the main thing right now is get into Philadelphia to see, you know, probably the top sports hernia guy in the country. And he had this injury in high school, and my understanding was maybe he kind of waited a little too long to have the surgery, and then he had it, and then I'm not knocking anybody at Cuero High School, but it's not like you're going to have a top of the line training staff at Cuero to get him the right kind of rehab coming back from that. And it was just kind of something he dealt with throughout the spring. I don't think anybody really knew how severe it was, but you know, as he got into camp and kind of that camp grind, he was being held out of some practices, going through practice in non-contact settings. And then one of his catches, yeah, you can tell there's a drive on the goal line. There's a play where he goes to throw a cut block on a touchdown pass from Sam Ellinger to Colin Johnson, and he doesn't look good going to the ground, doesn't look good getting up, and that's probably right in there where the injury happened. So, it's a 4 to 6 week recovery. I think the best case scenario for Texas right now is they get him back for the Oklahoma game on October 12th. But that's probably not a game where you just want to throw a guy in and plan on getting him 10 to 12 touches in that game when he's just coming off surgery. So I think you're probably looking at midseason before you can get him back.
This week's game, this matchup should be a real good battle in the trenches. The O-line and D-line is going to be very physical. How healthy, one, is the Longhorns offensive line, and do you expect it to be one in the trenches as well?
Yeah, the second part's interesting, too. We'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, Texas is healthy. They really wanted the goal for Zach Shackelford was get him out of the game at the first possible opportunity because his foot had been a little bit sore. You know, it's one of those things we talked about. Anytime you're talking about a 300-pound guy and a foot injury, you've got to give him some extra time. So he got his work in. They got him out. They got Parker Braun the start. So he and Junior Aguilar getting their first starts at those guard positions. So I do think, though, going back to the point about supplementing your run game kind of with perimeter screens and stuff to the outside, and unfortunately this is kind of one of those few games on the schedule where Texas isn't going to have, you know, the physicality or athleticism advantage on the edge like they would have, because LSU's got one of the top secondaries in the country. But I think it's going to be played more so outside the tackles. I would expect a pretty similar game plan to what Texas had against Georgia, because I don't know if this offensive line is ready to just for four quarters go mash with the kind of mass LSU has. I think you'll see Texas be really selective about the times they really try to pound it between the tackles and force the issue. And that's not a lack of physicality thing. I think that's just the Texas staff saying they're not going to hit their heads against the wall trying to go take the path of most resistance. They're going to take the path of least resistance. As far as where the game's going to be won, Q, obviously anytime you're talking about facing an SEC opponent, you talk about the line of scrimmage, but I really think what's going to decide this game is the skill position guys on the outside. I don't know if there's a better matchup in the country in terms of just athlete on athlete, like the LSU wide receivers and the Texas secondary. When you look at how both of those groups have recruited over the last few years, there's a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism, and I think a lot of dollars in terms of future NFL contracts that are going to come out of those two groups. And I think conversely, LSU is going to play a lot of man. I mean, they're probably legitimately like 90% man coverage. If Sam Ellinger can recognize those situations and trust Colin Johnson to go win a 50-50 ball, or maybe the one time you can get Devin Duvernay loose down the field, that could end up being the difference in the game. So while obviously the trenches are going to have a lot to do with it, I think whoever wins is plus one or plus two, you know, in those battles on the outside in terms of getting chunk yardage plays. I think that's really what's going to make the difference.
Hey, Jeff, real quick, we'll close it on this. Billy Embody, when we asked him earlier, he said he expects LSU to win this game. It's going to be a good game, but expects LSU to win in Austin and then UT to turn around and win in Baton Rouge next year is his prediction. But how do you feel about the game in Austin? What's your gut telling you on whether or not folks are going to be going home happy or not?
I promise Billy and I did not plan this ahead of time, but that's kind of exactly where I'm at. I think this is a close game, but I do think Texas gets the cover if you're interested in those sorts of things.
Right,
but
right.
And that goes back to Tom Herman's record, 8-2-1 as an underdog against the spread. But I think when you look at these two rosters, Craig, I think where LSU is right now, that's what Texas is shaping up to be next year. I think when you look at this LSU roster, the only two teams you can say without question have more talent than they do are LSU and Clemson and Alabama. And even within some position groups, you could say LSU might be better. This is a very talented roster, and now they've got the offensive scheme and a quarterback to go with it. This is kind of their year, their chance to really go make a push to the playoff. I still think in terms of that, Texas is a year away, which is why I think I would, if I could pick it now, I would pick Texas to go to Baton Rouge and win that game next year.
You can find him on Twitter at JeffHowe247, at JeffHowe247. Also check out Horns247. Still a couple of days of buildup and a lot of good discussion and reporting going on leading into Saturday night in Austin. And Jeff here with us on Wednesdays around 1:30. Thanks so much for your time and how generous you are with it, Jeff. Hope you have a great week and a great Saturday, and we will talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys.